Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus, who is the Christ. Amen. The word psalm means really song of praise. The Hebrew word for it is tilahim, which basically means a praise of song in God, a book of praises. In fact, if you open the Bible smack dab in the middle, you'll find the book of Psalms. And, of course, not all psalms are songs of praise. There's lament, there's anguish, there's grief, there's joy, there's I'm going to get my enemy and punch him in the nose. There's all kind of feelings in the, there's songs of psalms of ascent and psalms of repentance. So any feeling you've ever had, any emotion you've had, you can find it in the Psalms, and you can take it to God in prayer. Our Jewish brothers and sisters pray the Psalms. Our friends, the monks, in their morning prayer, in their midday prayer, in their evening prayer, pray the Psalms. Jesus prayed the Psalms. This was Jesus' prayer book. So when you read the Psalms or sing the Psalms, you're singing words that Jesus prayed with God. So the Psalms are a wonderful book of praise and prayer. So I'd like you to imagine today you lived 3,000 years ago, okay? And you're going to the temple in Jerusalem. You're going up Mount Zion. And there's special Psalms of ascent. And you're climbing up there to the holy place where you can worship God. You kind of did that today. You came up Boulder's Road, right? You came up, and you came to this holy place. You know, you didn't stay home and watch the Steelers. You're not in a great race. You're here to worship God, which is kind of special. But in those days, they didn't sing the Psalms. They danced to the Psalms. They beat drums to the Psalms. They had tambourines and cymbals to the Psalms. They had lyres, and they had all kind of music to praise God and to celebrate God. Imagine going up with the music and the sounds and the trumpets and the joy and singing, Hallelujah! Praise the Lord, O my soul. I will praise the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praises to my God while I have being. Now the trumpets start sounding and the tambourines start going. The drums start going and people are really getting excited because they're worshiping the Lord God, their Lord God. They're worshiping the God who made them a people. They had tears in their eyes, thanking God because he made them a people. And through Joseph, they found food in Egypt. And then Egypt turned on them. And then God freed them from Pharaoh. God parted the Sea of Reeds or the Red Sea. God took them into the wilderness in a cloud by day and a fire by night. God gave them manna to eat. He gave them quail to eat. God took care of them and made them his people and took them to the promised land. And they raised their voices in full, powerful song, thanking this God that is their God and is more real to them than their next breath. This God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, is their God too. They know it. And God made them his people. And the Lord who gives justice to those who are oppressed. The Lord who sets the prisoners free. The Lord who opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord who cares for the stranger and the immigrant and the vulnerable and the illegally incarcerated. The Lord who sustains the widow and the orphan. The Lord who loves the child. The Lord. And then, for a moment, everything stops. And all eyes go to the choir director. And suddenly, the instruments start up again, and the drums start up, and the dancing starts again, and the people say, singing together with a loud voice and from their hearts and their souls, "The Lord shall reign forever. Hallelujah." Wow, is that how you worship? Pretty neat. Here we have a praise and love of the Lord with heart, mind, soul, and strength, totally holding nothing back. And that overflows to loving each other and loving God's creation. A thanksgiving for all God's goodness. And this joy and thanksgiving, then, how do you live? Do you respond to this awesome God who reigns from heaven above, but is also his spirit is in your heart? Well, our Jewish brothers and sisters, it was pretty easy. A tithe. They took 10% of all that God, they didn't see, well, on their good days, they didn't see what they had as their own. They saw it's a trust from God, and they were stewards of this. So God gives them everything. They give back 10%, 2.4 hours a day, 10% of their wealth and their grain, 10% of their talents. And they figured, not a bad deal. We still have 90% what God gives us for ourselves. And then their offering to God's mission through the temple, that was above and beyond the tithe. This is because it was given out of joy and thanksgiving for what God had first given them. And through their giving and living, they reflected to others who their God was, who their God is. I'm generous to you because God is generous to me. And that's who God is. I love you because God loves me. I forgive you because God forgives me. See, and all three lessons today deal with the question, how do we handle our wealth? How do we handle what God has first given us? How do we handle this beautiful little baby that's a gift from God? How do we do that? Today we need to ask, out of our love for Jesus and our love for one another, how do we use our time and talent and treasure to God's mission to share this wonderful good news that the world so desperately needs, it's always needed. The Lord who gives us health and brains and strength to study, to learn, to grow, to work, to help others, that everything is a gift from God. How do we then use this? How do we become stewards of this? How do we do right by God, from whom all blessings flow? So we give thanks. We give thanks. I give thanks for you. I didn't expect to see anybody today with all the stuff going on, but you love God, and God loves you, and you know it, and this is your priority. And we reach out beyond our congregation because God loves the world. God so loved the world. This is our Father's world. Everybody in it is a precious gift from God. I don't care what the news media says. This is the enemy. This is the good person. They're all loved by God. And so do we. We're even called to love the enemy. There's no difference. No difference for a Christian. We are to forgive all people. There's no difference. So the Lazarus of this world will not be overlooked and cared for, that they would be looked at as precious, that the heritage of Joseph will not be ruined, so that we will not fall into the temptation of the love of money, which is the root of many evils. It's not, money's not. And John Wesley, the head of the Methodists, said, make all the money you can so you can give all the money away that you can. But the love of money. Your possessions aren't bad, to have a nice car or shoes or whatever, that's a good thing. But to be possessed by your possessions, to get your identity because of the dress you wear or the shoes you wear or whatever, or even the church you go to, I mean, that's when it goes south. But we are called to love, and our hearts are overflowing with the love of God and the love of others. When you sing today. You're giving your offering of thanksgiving. When you lecture today, you're giving your offering of thanksgiving. When you acolyte today, you know, we never had a seminarian acolyte for us before. That's pretty neat. You're giving your thank offering. When you greet people at the door, you're giving your thank offering. When you join the choir with Don and sing for Christmas, that's your thank offering. When you go out there and pull weeds, make the church beautiful, that's your thank offering. When you meditate in the morning on God's word and pray the word goes from your head to your heart to your actions, that's your thank offering. When you... Let's see, I got a lot of things here. Yeah, newsletter! When you write for the newsletter, that's your thank offering. You know, what you do in God's name, that's your thank offering. When I preach, it's a poor offering, but I give my best thank offering when I preach. And when you read, and when we live for the Lord, that's our thank offering. You know, the Psalms help open us. Open our hearts and minds and souls, because the Spirit is with us. But as we sing and praise God and see how wonderful our awesome God is, there's something that happens to us. And I found this writing from a wonderful professor, Dr. Lois Malcolm, and she's at Luther Seminary. She talks about when we praise God and the Spirit enters, what happens? We discover that every moment can be lived with newness and freshness of God's life in us, God's breath in us. We discover gifts we never thought we had. We discover a fierce desire for truth, a hunger for justice and righteousness that affects all our relationships and all of our activities. We no longer are able to look at ourselves or other people in the same way. Through the Spirit, we are transformed regardless of who we are or what our circumstances of life might be. We discover that faith is about living with a freedom and a joy and a peace and a spontaneity that circumstances in our lives cannot affect. We discover a love that enables us to be more fully ourselves and thus more able to love other people with authenticity, lives that are more fully and more deeply lived. So your psalm, don't take them for granted. They can do this for you every Sunday. In fact, I'd like to close with our psalm today, Psalm 146. Happy are they who have the God of Jacob as their help, whose hope is in the Lord their God, who made heaven and earth, the seas and all that is in them, who keeps promises forever, who gives justice to those who are oppressed and food to those who are hungry. The Lord sets the captive free. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord cares for the stranger. The Lord sustains the orphan and widow, but frustrates the way of the wicked. The Lord shall reign forever and ever. Your God, O Zion, through all generations. And everybody says, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And the peace of God that passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Amen.